In those days, Wu desperately wanted to make his mark. John Hammond had his full attention.
"I'm talking about work," Hammond continued. "Real accomplishment. What does a scientist need to work? He needs time, and he needs money. I'm talking about giving you a 5-year commitment and $10 million a year in funding. $50 million. And no one tells you how to spend it. You decide. Everyone else just gets out of your way."
It sounded too good to be true. Wu was silent for a long time. Finally, he said,
"In return for what?"
"For taking a crack at the impossible," Hammond said. "For trying something that probably can't be done."
"What does it involve?"
"I can't give you details, but the general area involves cloning reptiles."
"I don't think that's impossible," Wu said. "Reptiles are easier than mammals. Cloning's probably only 10-15 years off, assuming some fundamental advances."
"I've got 5 years," Hammond said, "and a lot of money. For somebody who wants to take a crack at it now."
"Is my work publishable?"
"Eventually.
Not immediately,
no."
"But eventually publishable?" Wu asked, sticking on this point.
Hammond had laughed. "Don't worry. If you succeed, the whole world will know about what you've done, I promise you."
And now it seemed the whole world would indeed know, Wu thought. After 5 years of extraordinary effort, they were just a year away from opening the park to the public. Of course, those years hadn't gone exactly as Hammond had promised. Wu had had some people telling him what to do, and many times fearsome pressures were placed on him, and the work itself had shifted. It wasn't even reptilian cloning, once they began to understand that dinosaurs were so similar to birds. It was avian cloning, a very different proposition, much more difficult. And for the last 2 years, Wu had been primarily an administrator, supervising teams of researchers and banks of computer-operated gene sequencers. Administration wasn't the kind of work he relished. It wasn't what he had bargained for. Still, he had succeeded. He had done what nobody really believed could be done, at least in so short a time. And Henry Wu thought that he should have some rights, some say in what happened, by virtue of his expertise and his efforts. Instead, he found his influence waning with each passing day. The dinosaurs existed. The procedures for obtaining them were worked out to the point of being routine. The technologies were mature, and John Hammond didn't need Henry Wu anymore.
"That should be fine," Hammond said, speaking into the phone.
He listened for a while and smiled at Wu.
"Fine. Yes, fine."
He hung up.
"Where were we, Henry?"
"We were talking about phase two," Wu said.
"Oh, yes. We've gone over some of this before, Henry."
"I know, but you don't realize..."
"Excuse me, Henry," Hammond said with an edge of impatience in his voice. "I do realize. And I must tell you frankly, Henry, I see no reason to improve upon reality. Every change we've made in the genome has been forced on us by law or necessity. We may make other changes in the future to resist disease or for other reasons, but I don't think we should improve upon reality just because we think it's better that way. We have real dinosaurs out there now. That's what people want to see, and that's what they should see. That's our obligation, Henry. That's honest, Henry."
And smiling, Hammond opened the door for him to leave.